Psalm 105, I want to just speak for a few minutes on these three thoughts that David in this psalm said. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. You know, tonight that we're sitting in a Bible preaching church, this church in many ways is probably a lot different than the first century church. We're sitting on padded pews and air conditioning, electric lights. We drove automobiles to get here. We didn't have to suffer a lot of persecution. The great battle that we had to face coming tonight was whether or not we were going to get out of the recliner. The first century church was a lot different makeup than this church. But can I tell you something? They preached the same message. They preached about the same Jesus from the same book with the same Holy Spirit with the same urgency, and that was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was a call to the church to live holy lives separated unto the Lord and to be examples not only to the believers but also to the Gentiles. And we're sitting here tonight 2,000 years after Jesus rose again from the dead and ascended and established his church. We're sitting here 2,000 years later on the other side of the world in an entirely different language, and we're still preaching the same message. Because this is the work of God. This is not the work of men. This is the work of God. But David takes a moment to tell the people to thank the Lord, to spend time thanking the Lord. And I want to show you something tonight in your Bible. Mark that in Psalm 107 and run back very quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the repeating of the law. This is where Moses is giving instruction and going back through the law one more time before the people are going to go into the promised land. And God is warning them of how they ought to live when they get among the heathen. And listen, it's one thing to believe what we believe in here. It's another thing how we live it out there. And we need to be living before men with a sense of holiness and righteousness to exalt the Lord. The Lord was not sending his people into this land unprepared. And he was sending them in. But here's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 11. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Well, how do we forget the Lord? In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where thou was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness. Now, look at verse number 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do all at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. Listen, this church, and you as a believer, if you live in your life, you begin to forget the Lord and forget his commandments and forget what God's called us to do, forget what he's brought us through. You go through times in life when you get into times of ease, we forget what God brought us through. And if we forget that, we'll stray from the Lord. We'll begin to walk after other gods, after our own desires, our own lusts, our own flesh. And the Lord said, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. May I tell you tonight why the state of the church in many places, the state of the church is a church that is carnal and worldly and fleshly. They've forgotten the Lord. They begin to walk after what they want instead of what the Lord wants. Listen very carefully on this Heritage Sunday. This is the Lord's doing. And you and I ought to be rejoicing over what God gave us victory from, and how God brought us here, and how the Lord planted us in this place, and how God's given us a church where we can be fed, and where we can have a refuge, and where we can have a spiritual strength. And in this place that, listen, this wasn't built by a pastor. This wasn't built by a man. This wasn't built by a group of people. This church was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was built through the people who had an eye on Christ and were obedient to Him to live holy lives, separated lives, and go out witnessing and bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and bringing others with them. This church was built through faithful obedience and the power of the Holy Spirit by the work of Christ. And if we forget that, we'll be a church. Listen, if we forget that, we'll be a church that loses our way. And before long, listen, we'll be living in the land that God brought us to, but worshiping at the altars of the false gods. How do we prevent that? How do we stay a church that is vibrant and filled with the Spirit of God and part of God's work? Well, he calls to our attention three things here. He said, I want you in verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. What's he talking about here? He's talking about remember the Lord's deeds. In these first 6 verses, he talks about what the Lord has done, remembering what God has done. Hey, can I tell you tonight, church, what every one of us ought to do in our own personal lives? We ought to spend some time remembering what God has done. Get you a book of remembrance and write in there the victories that God has brought your way. Write in there when the Lord saved you. Write in there when God delivered you. Write in there when you had bills that were unpaid and you prayed and God miraculously did it. Write in there those things that God has done. How many of you have testimonies in your own life of what God has brought you through in times that God delivered you? How many of you got testimonies in your own life? Write those down lest you forget. It's easy in the middle of the problems to be so focused on the circumstance and the problem that we lose sight of the God who did it before and who can do it again. Listen, God doesn't want us looking to the past, thinking that the past was better. We as human beings, sometimes we look at the past and we think of it being the good old days. We start looking at the past with nostalgia. Listen, don't let that happen, because you can't go back to that. And you'll spend all your time today regretting what you live in, thinking that yesterday was better. God wants us looking forward with hope. Well, the only way we can do that is when we look back and say, okay, God is the same God back there that he is today, and he will be tomorrow. And what he did back there, he'll do today, and he'll do tomorrow. And we keep our eye on the Lord and remember what God did. Can I tell you what the Lord told his people over and over and over again? He said, share with your children the blessings of God. Share with them what God did. One of the saddest things that you'll ever come across is when you read that there arose a generation among God's people, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. And their grandparents, that generation's grandparents, stood on the other side of the Red Sea and watched God open that sea. Their grandparents wandered the wilderness and watched God feed them with bread from heaven. They watched water come from a rock. They saw the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They saw Jordan stand up in heaps. They saw the walls of Jericho come down. They saw great victories. And their grandchildren grew up and didn't even know who that God was. Why? Because they got in the promised land and they forgot the Lord. There's a great psalm that said, talk ye of all his wondrous works. We ought to be talking about what God's done. You know what many of us ought to do? We ought to gossip about God. I want to challenge you this week. Spread some gossip about God. Go tell everybody what God's done. Hey, did you hear what God did? Let me tell you a little secret what God did. God delivered me from my sin. God saved my soul from hell. God helped this person heal from cancer. God delivered this person from this sickness. God did this great thing for our family. Let's go gossip about God this week. Let's praise the Lord for his deeds. You know, we live in a generation today, we really do, where we've become unthankful. We've become unthankful. You know, we live here in this fast-paced world, and here's what we're thinking. Well, a lot of times folks just look at, well, what have you done for me lately? We forget what God's done. And what have you done for me lately? David said here, remember his deeds. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Praise the Lord for his deeds. I think what we need to do, by the way, I want to just challenge this generation that just stood up here a few minutes ago. Many of you are faithful. You're in Sunday school. You're teaching. You're working, running bus routes, and you're involved in so many different ministries in the church. Can I tell you, when you're working alongside the younger people, tell them of what God has done in your life. Tell them of what God's brought you through. Testify of that. When you see others struggling, pray for them and share with them what God did for you. I remember counseling with a young couple in my office a couple of years ago, and they were telling me about an older couple, both now in heaven. And they were saying, we wish that we could have a marriage like they have now. And they were looking at this couple who'd been married for 50-some years. And they said, we wish we could have a marriage like that, but man, we're never going to get there. And so I said, I want you to do something. I called that older couple up, and I said, I'm sending a young couple to you, and I want you to be totally honest with them about your marriage. And I sent this young couple to go visit. I said, I want you to go to their house. They came back to see me the next week. Their eyes were this big. They said, we had no idea that a couple like that would have had the marriage problems that they had. I said, I know. They went through things that, they went through adultery, almost on the divorce. And yet, they made it through. Sometimes we'll sit in a church like this and we'll see the older Christians and we'll think, boy, you know, they've had it easy. Oh, they haven't had it easy. They were just faithful when things were going wrong. They just stayed with the Lord and they just obeyed God. When they sinned, they got it right. And when they got away from God, they repented and came back. When they were going through difficult times, they put their burdens on the Lord and they trusted God. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, God brought them through it. And the same grace that was available for them is available for you. Listen, let's encourage the younger generation that God still can. God can hold your marriage together. God can help you have a Christian home. God can pay your bill. God can provide for you in this world today. Let's remember what God has done. Number two, David said here, he said, I want you to remember his covenant. Look at verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law unto Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land and brake the whole staff of bread. He said, listen, I want you to remember, give thanks to God today, not only for what God has done, but for his covenant that he made with us. Now here in this psalm, he's talking about the covenant of Abraham, and that doesn't really excite us. And it ought to. The covenant of Abraham was a covenant about that land, about the land of Israel, that God said, I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to give this land to you, Abraham, and to your seed. And by the way, that seed was Jesus. One of these days, Jesus is going to rule and reign in that land. The covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, hasn't been completely fulfilled. Christ is still going to come. He's still going to rule and reign. But wait a minute, listen. If God can remember the covenant that he made with Abraham, don't you think that God can remember the covenant he made with Christ? Jesus said, this is the cup of a new covenant in my blood. And that God made a covenant through Jesus Christ, and it's a covenant that all who come to him shall have eternal life and not perish, and they'll be called the sons of God, and they'll be given not this land, but brother, yea, I want to say, they'll be given that land, a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Hey, we're part of a covenant people that are covenanted in that blood of Christ. And if God can remember what he promised Abraham, I know that God will remember what he promised to his own son. We got to thank God today that we're part of that covenant people that are cut out of that covenant of the blood of Christ. Every time we gather for the Lord's table and we break the bread and we drink that cup, it ought to remind us that God made a covenant with the body of Christ. And you and I are partakers of that. And if God won't forget his covenant to Abraham, God surely won't forget his covenant to Jesus. I want to say number three, look at this. Look at verse 17. The Bible said he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that the word came. The word of the Lord tried him, and the king sent him and loosed him. And the ruler of the people, and he let him go free. Verse number 21, he made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies, and he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He said, what is he talking about? God said, I want you to remember and I want you to thank God for not only for what he's done, not only for what he's promised in Jesus Christ, but listen, for the people that God has used in your life. Tonight, our church ought to be thanking God. Every one of us ought to thank God for what he's done. We ought to thank the Lord for the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. But we ought to thank God for the people that God has used along the way. Joseph is a representative here of that man who was sent before them. What did Joseph tell his brothers? God did send me before you to preserve life. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Joseph said, God sent me before you to prepare a way for you to be saved. How many of you can remember the person that God used to lead you to Christ? That's a Joseph in your life. Thank God for that person who came as a representative of Jesus Christ and gave the gospel to you. This week, my dad made a very tiring trip, a very quick trip up into Montana. I wasn't able to attend. I tried to work it out where I could go, but my dad and my brother Matt were able to go and attend the funeral service for Brother Bill Wickham, a man that God sent to Montana. God sent him there to Montana. In my humble opinion, God sent him there to lead one man to Christ. That was my daddy. The Lord led Bill Wickham to Montana, and Bill Wickham led my dad to the Lord. And through that, mom and dad got saved, called in the ministry. I was raised in a Christian home, a home without any smoking and cussing and no drinking and no fighting and fussing. A home that the Lord was honored and glorified, where the Bible was read and prayers were made and character was taught, and where we were raised to work and to love the Lord. And God sent somebody, listen very carefully, God sent somebody ahead of that to go to another land. Bill Wickham was sent from Denver to go to Montana. You think about this, somebody had to leave home. Somebody had to leave mom and dad and sister and brother. Somebody had to go to a different state, a place that they weren't maybe comfortable with, and they had to go away to do the Lord's work. Can I tell you something tonight? Thank God. You ought to thank God tonight for the people that God has uprooted and sent your way to give you the gospel. Thank God tonight for those who've left home and went off to college and studied and were prepared and were growing in their faith so they could take the word of God and go to a city and start a church and preach the gospel. Thank God for those that God led your way to bring you to Jesus Christ. Thank God for the person that went out of their way and got out of their comfort zone to talk to you about the gospel. You know, many of us have been saved for a long time. We forget now. We're in this business of passing out tracts and giving the gospel, but many of us forget maybe of the turmoil that that person went through about when they had to come and approach us. Maybe they were nervous to talk to you. Maybe they were nervous to bring the conversation. Maybe they prayed and said, "Lord, I don't know how to talk to Joe. I don't know how to talk to him or her." But they did. They stepped out by faith and obeyed the word of God, and you got saved. How many remember the person that led you to Christ? You better thank God for that person. Thank God for that person who went through the trials. They could be prepared to give you the gospel. Then he says in verse number 26 that he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. And we know the story. He talks about the great works that were wrought by Moses and Aaron in Egypt to lead the people out. And what's he talking about? He's talking about you better thank God for not only the people that God sent before you to bring the gospel to you like Joseph, but he said you better thank God for the people like Moses who God could send to lead you. To lead you from Egypt, from worldly living to Canaan land. You ever thought about those men, Moses and Aaron, and what they went through? To come in to Pharaoh's chamber and to stand in the presence of Satan personified, and to command them to let the people go and to fight for the freedom that God had given his people, and to stand in that place and do spiritual war. I mean, do you know the courage that it took for Moses to walk in and face Pharaoh? And finally to tell Pharaoh, listen to me, when Pharaoh made all the compromises, Pharaoh made so many compromises, okay, you can go so far to worship, but just leave your children. Moses said no. Okay, fine, you can go with all your women, you can go with all your children, but just leave your animals behind. And Moses looked at Pharaoh in the face and said, not one hoof, not one hoof will be left in this land. We're going with everybody. Pharaoh said no. Moses said, you're going to pay for that. He had to declare to Pharaoh that God was going to take the firstborn. And God did it. And God wrought a great victory to take the people out of that bondage and lead them across the Red Sea and to take them across into the Canaan. And can you imagine what Moses had to go through those 40 years? Leading people who complained every step of the way. One day they were happy. One day they were mad. One day they were with Moses. One day they wanted to stone him. There was a couple of times that God even wanted to kill the people, and Moses stood there and said, Lord, remember your covenant. And because Moses interceded, God remembered his word. God repented from the evil that he was going to do to his people. And Moses led those people for 40 years across the wilderness and led them out to the place from bondage in Egypt to spiritual victory in Canaan. You know what every one of us ought to thank God for? We ought to thank God for the people that God has used to lead us in our Christian walk. Thank God for the people that God has used that stood in the gap between good and evil and light and darkness, and they stood in that place and prayed when you didn't know to pray, and they warfared when you didn't even know there was a war, and they battled in the night watches, and they went before God, and they stood in the face of Satan, and they withstood him to the face, and they fought a spiritual battle so that you could be led to spiritual victory. You've had pastors stand here. Brother Williams has stood in this place. I think of men that were on his staff, Brother Goff, and good men that led in this church. Brother Jerry George stood here, and he many times stood and led this church while at home. His wife suffered an illness, and he was trying to lead his family and guide the hearts of his children while his wife was so sick and lead the church. And I just thank God for those in my spiritual life and my Christian life who were those men and those people that stood out in front and led the way to teach me how to go from bondage to spiritual victory. You know, a church loses its way very quickly when the people forget to look back at what God has done. We got to look back at what God has done through the years and just thank God for it. We ought to look back and thank God for his covenant that he made with Jesus Christ. That God's a covenant-making God and he's a covenant-keeping God. Amen. And we ought to thank God for the servants that God has used to preach the gospel to us, to lead us spiritually, to bring us out of bondage and into spiritual light. You know, tonight, if you're a faithful child of God and you have any knowledge of this book right here, and you have a desire to serve the Lord, do you know that somebody taught you that and preached that to you? It didn't just dawn on you. You got saved and somebody led you spiritually. Thank God for those people. I want to say tonight, the lines, Central, the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. And I want to challenge you tonight that the God who brought us through these last 68 years is the same God that'll lead us until Jesus comes. And there is no reason that a church has to die, that the light has to go out, that that church has to wilt. This church ought to be more vibrant today than she's ever been. This church ought to be more prayerful now than she's ever been. We're living in the last of the last days. Jesus is coming. Did you know that? I mean, listen, you can see the shadow under the door. Brother, thank God. Lift up your eyes. Church redemption draws nigh. But wait a minute. As you're looking up, knowing that Christ is coming soon, let's get our eyes on the harvest and realize that it's white. And the same God that did what he did yesteryear can do it again today. And the same God who has a covenant wants to have others saved today. And now I can be someone's Joseph. I can go before and bring the gospel to others. I can be a spiritual leader. I can get a Sunday school class. I can get a bus route. I can get my hands in the work of God. It's time for me to do something in this church. All of us ought to say, God, use me, so that we would have a faithful heritage to pass down to our kids. This church ought to have a desire to double this church attendance in the next 10 years. We ought to have a desire to have every seat in this auditorium filled by year's end. Everybody bringing somebody that we can lead and guide and help and pray for. Listen, we've been given a great heritage. Let's pass it on. Let's pass it on to the next generation. Let God use you. Father, I thank you tonight.